Welcome to the Retro Nostalgia Podcast with Matthew Ramirez, your go-to education and entertainment source for all things 80s and retro video games. In this podcast, you'll learn little-known facts on a variety of nostalgic topics, leaving you longing for the awesomeness of yesteryear. If you're ready for a blast from the past, a tubular new episode is starting now.
All right, everyone, welcome to a brand new episode of the Retro Nostalgia Podcast, your go-to podcast for all things 80s and retro video games. So today, I'm going to be joined once again by my good friend, Andre. So if you guys have listened to my past episode, he joined me there and we were discussing some 80s movies, some good memories we each had with particular movies of the time. And
definitely not any 90s movies whatsoever.
Kind of how we... or some of those have had sequels, and we kind of lightly touched on that. We didn't really go into it, but he's back joining me here today, and we're going to dive into some more movies. Obviously, there's a whole plethora of 80s movies. So, Andre, how are you doing today?
I'm good. Thanks for having me back. I figured after my description of The Last Dragon last time, you were like, get this guy out of here. He's trash. But for some reason, you let me come back. I appreciate that.
Listen, it's not every day you talk to someone that knows The Last Dragon, okay? that in itself, it touched me right in my heart, okay? So
right in the feels.
I had to have you back.
Hey, good to be back.
All right. Sounds good. So what have you been up to? Have you seen any other 80s movies lately?
Honestly, no. There were a couple movies that recently came out on like Netflix and Amazon. I've been kind of checking those out, but nothing really.
Yeah.
Nothing really new.
I remember last time you were talking about Amazon Prime. I mean, it sounds like all the good movies from the 80s are hitting that way, huh?
I've certainly been impressed, like by far, with the amount of 80s movies that they have on there, and not just like 80s movies, but like good 80s movies.
Right.
So that's been like kind of a cool thing on Amazon Prime.
Yeah. I mean, myself, I'm not really much of a streamer. I know. For all of you that don't know, Andre is huge into like streaming and 4K Blu-rays, and he's like 4K TV. He's like on it. This guy's talking about 8K later on. So
yeah. So so a little bit of background is that Matt didn't know what 4K was until he met me. I feel responsible for his 4K education. So, there you go.
I did give you the props for that. So credit given where credit is due.
Oh, that's what I'm talking about.
But I mean, for myself, I with the 80s, I feel like I like having the media. I mean, I just come from that time. Obviously, I know you do too, where we had the media, we had the VHS tapes, then the DVDs and Blu-ray, and it, keeps going on. But I kind of got stuck in that. I never really got into the streaming platforms and all that stuff. And I've had roommates that had like Netflix and stuff, and that's when I kind of watched them. But that's not, it doesn't really get my attention. So when you bring something up like Amazon Prime and you're telling me all these things, it's so like, maybe now I have to sign up for one.
So, I'm going to tell you, I'm just going to drop a few things.
Yeah.
As I'm strolling through Amazon Prime, I feel like it knows me listening. So the first thing I see is classic Wayne's brother movie, I'm Gonna Get You Sucker.
Oh,
okay. And I don't know if you've ever seen that one. Okay. But that's a good one. That's kind of, poking fun at like Shaft and those movies. But they also got RoboCop on there.
Oh,
RoboCop, right? And I'm like, why? They're tempting me is what they're doing. They're trying.
That's a classic. Have you seen Do you remember watching it at first, the first time you saw it?
Man, I was so young. No, I don't. I remember that feeling like being young. You know, I've seen it a gazillion times. There's like, right. What, like three of them, right?
Yeah, there's three of them.
And I don't know if you've already talked about the video. I feel like, you know, the video game. That was another good one too. Playing the video game for the first time on Nintendo or whatever. But
yeah.
But just, you know, being like, oh, okay, like there's this guy and he's turned into like this. I'll censor myself. Awesome, super awesome robot.
Yeah.
This like, you know, amazing robot. Like that's awesome. That's dope. So, like that might be my earliest, you know, remembering. I mean, obviously it's kind of creepy, like the robots that they create, and it is a little bit gory and whatnot.
Yeah. That's where I was going to go with it. I like the first couple of times, I mean, I was just young too, just as young as you were probably when you first saw it, but watching it again recently. And since I've been, you know, adult and all that, like I was surprised to see how much blood there was in it and just how much like, shooting and bullet action there was going on. I'm like, man, I don't remember the movie being like this. And then, do you remember at the end, like the villain gets like, I think there was like, did he get hit by acid or something? Like, I know there was like a gruesome death in there at towards the end. And the villain, if you remember, is actually the dad, the actor who would later be the dad in that 70s show. The guy who
yes, played, that's Red right. That's right. Man, that's crazy. Like, but he doesn't look anything in that movie like he does in that 70s show. So like,
right.
So I look at the picture now and I'm like, oh dude, that is him. Like, but like, you know, cause he's bald, you know, he's bald.
Right.
That 70s show. Right. So he's got hair and he's got like the little,
the glasses,
the Beatles glasses, the John Lennon glasses. And it's like, oh man. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I don't quite remember. It's been some years since I've seen it, but
yeah,
so I don't remember, but I know he deserved it. So, you right. know, it's fine. It's fine.
Right. Yeah, that movie, man. I mean, that was one of my favorite movies growing up, RoboCop. For me, my brother, I grew up with a brother who was like 13 years older than me. And as these movies would come on, like on TV, you remember like UPN? Do you remember that channel?
Yes.
I don't know what channel it was, because for those of you that don't know, Andre's originally from Detroit. I'm originally from Los Angeles, so we had different TV stations.
The West Coast and the Midwest Coast.
Yeah, I mean, I remember UPN used to show a lot of 80s movies, WB.
I remember RoboCop coming on UPN. Like, absolutely, I do. I absolutely do.
And so my brother would, like, record these on VHS tapes, and these are the things I would watch when pretty much my mom wanted me to be quiet. So she's like, here you go. Go ahead and watch RoboCop. Go ahead and watch Rocky, all the Rocky movies. Oh man, those were it for me. That's what really kind of set me onto fitness and kind of got me into, going into getting my personal training cert and all that stuff later on. And that's why I still kind of continue going to the gym. But Rocky, all the Rocky movies, definitely a big influence for me. Arnold Schwarzenegger with Predator, Terminator, and
Commando. That is my movie right there. Commando. That's another one I remember watching on UPN. Like,
yeah, I'm saying that UPN was the Amazon Prime of its time.
It was, you know, like I remember the girl, she's like, you gonna tell me what's going on? He's like, no. She's like, no.
Oh,
like,
yeah. And do you remember the daughter? The daughter is actually Alyssa Milano. She was the daughter of Arnold Schwarzenegger in that movie.
Really?
Yeah.
I never put that together. You know what? That's what happens when you're the daughter of Commando. You know, you wind up being the aunt of Spider-Man. That's just the natural progression of things. So
and then, man, do you remember the name they gave Arnold in that movie?
It was John something. Was it?
It was Matrix.
Oh, Matrix. That's what
it was. Yeah. I remember watching it. That's and I'm really... like, that's the bomb ass nickname. That nickname. Yeah, that's what I'm talking. If someone calls you Matrix, they better watch out.
That's it, right?
That movie, that movie was just like crazy with the action. I like seeing all the action sequences. Arnold was still in his prime. He was like, I don't know, benching like 400 easy.
And I mean, you know, 400. It's a little bit. It's a little bit.
That guy was a beast, and
he was.
That movie actually came out before Predator, so that came out 2 years before Predator. That was kind of like Arnold just barely coming off Conan. Do you remember those movies?
I remember. That's they've been how many Conans that have come out, but like the Arnold one is the one I remember from my like. I mean, I haven't seen that in probably like I don't even know 20 something years.
Yeah,
but like. Dude, that's the one I remember from my childhood, like the Arnold.
Yeah, Conan. And I remember they made two of them, like almost kind of back to back. And the first one was kind of more serious, and that one was how he got like to the position he was, and how he went after the guy that killed his parents in the beginning. Do you remember who that was? Who the actor was?
No.
James Earl Jones.
Oh. Of course.
James Earl Jones was like the dictator or something. Like he was running this cult, and he was ransacking all these villages, which Conan or Arnold was a part of one of these that he ransacked. And Conan went after him, you know, 20 years later when he was grown up and he had the sword and stuff. And I always remember in that first movie, I remember the scene where James Earl Jones, he starts like turning into like a snake. His head starts like turning into like a snake's head, and it's like, what the heck is going on, man? What's this guy on?
Dude, that's crazy, man.
That's a classic. But,
and James Earl Jones was also a man of the 80s. He had quite a good number of hits in the 80s.
Oh yeah. I mean, James, that's what I'm saying. When I name dropped that name, I knew you'd know right away, James Earl Jones. He's like all over the place. Before he got into Conan, he was in Star Wars as Darth
Star Vader. Wars, yeah.
Voice.
Star Wars. What else? Field of Dreams. Like off the top of my head.
Okay.
Trying to think what else. He was in...
He was in Coming to America.
Coming to America. Yeah, I was going to say what. Yeah. Coming to America. Absolutely. Like he had a lot of good movies. So he was in like all the different the Star Wars. I think that's was the big ones in the 80s, but you know.
Yeah. That's mainly where I remember him from. And then like I said, Conan, the first one. And then, do you remember watching the second Conan movie?
No, I don't remember the second Conan movie.
That one was more. I feel like it was how would you say it? Kidified. It was more like for kids. It wasn't really serious anymore. There was a lot of action, but that one, what I remember, you remember that wrestler? That was huge, Andre the Giant.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, he was in that movie.
Oh, what? No, I don't remember that one. I honestly...
Yeah, he ended up playing one of the beasts that Conan fought. And so they needed someone that was like big and intimidating. But he was in the suit, so that's why most people didn't see him. But they actually took some pictures. If you guys look him up. You can find Conan pictures. I believe that was Conan the Barbarian, or I'm sorry, Conan the Destroyer is the movie I'm talking about. And that's the one that also has Wilt Chamberlain in it. The NBA basketball player was in that one.
But I feel like he was in a lot of movies in the 80s too, right?
Yeah, yeah. Chamberlain, Grace Jones was in that movie too. So it was pretty much like they had like a bunch of stars for that movie. And yeah, that picture, you guys search it up. It shows like Arnold. I mean, Andre, you know this. Arnold is not a small guy by any means. He's like, what, 6'2", 6'3"? And he ends up being like the shortest guy in this picture next to Wilt and Andre the Giant. So it's pretty funny seeing that picture now. I mean, obviously Arnold's the most like jacked up guy in there, but the other two guys kind of dwarf him in size.
You said that was the Conan the Destroyer. Okay. I'm gonna have to look and see if I can find it. Let's see if it's on my my favorite streaming platform.
Oh, okay. And that one, a scene that I vividly remember as a child. Again, this is one of the movies my brother recorded, and I was like watching this when I was like 5. The final fight against like this, I don't know what, I guess the best way to describe it is like a demon type thing with like a horn on its head. And there's like lightning and thunder going on. And I mean, this is wild, man. This is like, what the heck is going on? I remember that growing up, and I was like freaked out by this thing. I'm like, what the heck is
this? Oh, it looks like a fish kind of.
Yeah. Yeah, I was pretty
with eyes on the side and
pretty disgusting.
Not gonna lie, it looks terrifying. I look at the pictures now. I'm like, that looks terrifying.
Yeah, Dagoth. Dagoth was the monster's name. I think it was supposed to be like a god. I mean, I guess there's no really spoiler alert for me to say. Most of you guys listening should have seen this movie by now, and if not, what are you guys doing? Come on, get on watch this movie. You won't
Why
be disappointed.
Why are you spoiling the movie like 40 years later?
Okay, but
how dare you?
Right, 40 years later. Come on, it only took Avengers Endgame like 2 days before it was spoiled for everyone, right?
So, Good point.
Pretty much in the second one, it's more cheesy. It's definitely more of a B-type movie, but I feel like just the action sequences really make up for it. They're pretty much trying to, there's like a queen kind of trying to take over this kingdom, and there's a princess that she wants to kind of get rid of. So kind of Disney-esque vibes there. And then she ends up trying to sacrifice a princess to bring this god back to life. But for this god to come back to life, they needed a virgin, and they need to sacrifice a virgin for it. And pretty much at the end, what happens is like, Conan gets there with his friends, and they end up messing up the whole ritual. And it wasn't the queen. It was someone else that gets kind of killed at the altar and ends up being the sacrifice for the god. And that's why the god ends up turning, looking like a fish demon type thing, because that person who died was not a virgin. So.
Oh, snaps.
I mean, classic.
Spoiler alert, but that's crazy.
Listen, it's been over 40 years, okay? Nothing wrong
well,
with it.
39, but who's counting, right?
Right. And I mean, I don't know. You can tell me if you can find it like on a streaming platform, but I know for sure it's been on DVD. It's been on Blu-ray. It usually comes in a combo pack with the first one. So you guys can definitely find that in the stores or online. What I'm disappointed with that one is they never showed the third one, the third Conan movie with Arnold was supposed to be about how he became like a ruler of the land, and they never released it. I was like, really?
Oh, I will say that I did find it on Amazon Prime.
Yeah,
it's not included, but you can rent it for $4.
Oh, I mean that's
or you could buy it for $14.
That's I mean $4 is that's the best use of $4 you're gonna get. That's just me.
I love it.
But this is another one of those movies we were talking in our last episode about how like there's been remakes or sequels. We talked about earlier in this episode about RoboCop. There was a remake that came out, I think, like four or five years ago.
Oh, RoboCop, yeah.
Yeah, and then Conan, there was a remake too. I was disappointed. I didn't even give it a viewing glance. It was just, listen, to me, Conan is Arnold. If Arnold's not going to be in it, there's no point in watching it.
Oh, well, you know who was the, okay, it came out in 2011.
Okay.
And you know who was,
I want to say.
I just looked it up.
Yeah.
Do you know, and it is included in Prime, by the way, the newer one.
Oh, that one is. But
do you know who Conan is?
I want to say it's Jason Momoa.
It's Jason Momoa. And like, I'm just like, oh, perfect. Okay. Okay. See what we're doing here.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't see it. It's one of those movies that's kind of come out recently. Like another one kind of that like kind of not fairy tale, but kind of like olden times when people weren't really civilized as far as in the movies with going with Conan. Do you remember watching or Willow. Hearing about Clash of the Titans?
Oh, no, sorry.
That was the one that was like an ancient, I want to say Rome. And there was like Perseus and they were like Zeus was there and he had to like go on this journey to save or get the prince's hand, the princess's
Listen,
hand.
Listen, don't hate me. Okay. But I saw the newer ones. I have not seen the older ones though.
Man, come on.
I know. All right. Mic drop. I'm out.
Yeah.
Podcast over. I ruined it for everybody.
I was going to go there though with the new Clash of the Titans, another one that I haven't seen because I was like, I feel like it's just a lot of these movies. It's hard to capture that essence. And we talked about this. I know I keep referencing the last episode, but it's really important for you guys to listen to that one because there's a lot of references in this episode. But we were talking about Coming to America and you were saying like, it can be bad, but people are still going to watch it because of that nostalgia factor.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of those movies are kind of like cash grabs nowadays. Because I've seen like that RoboCop movie, the new one. I wasn't really into it.
I didn't even bother. I wasn't going to waste the money.
There was a Total Recall, which was a remake of the original Arnold Schwarzenegger one.
And also, that's another one where I'm like, you can't redo that.
That one had Colin Farrell, though. So I like the character choice.
You can't redo Arnold with his eyes popping out of his head. Gasping for air.
That's like, true. That's classic.
Come on now. Oh,
so I just feel like, man, I mean, if any of these movies, I prefer a sequel. I don't like remakes because I feel like for some of these, there's still stories that can be told. Like Coming to America, obviously, there's a story that can be told and they're going to tell it. So I think that's where filmmakers should go with 80s. Going forward, 80s material.
So I'm going to go on record by saying I'm waiting for the sequel to The Last Dragon.
Last Dragon, Leroy. Bruce Leroy.
That's what I'm talking about. But oh man, like I'm just wondering, like, I know we talked last time about like Top Gun, right?
Yeah.
And like, I don't see. Like, am I going to see it? Probably, because I love the original Top Gun. I'm one of those weird Tom Cruise fans, you know, right. I like his movies. I like the Mission Impossibles and all that crazy stuff, but I'm going to watch it because I'm more curious than expecting it to be good, you know, because I don't know if you can, you know, redo it and make it. I mean, only probably what is the add more fighting and action in it, right? I mean, that's, you have to, right?
Yeah. I think a lot what happens is like people have expectations now, and when these movies came out there really wasn't much expectation, you know. That's the difference.
Well, and to add on to that, like I feel like our, like what we will accept is a lot different. So like you can, like I feel like now to you have a much smaller audience willing to sit down and watch a love story with a little bit of action.
Right.
Then it will be willing to watch an action story with a little bit of romance or love in it. Right.
Right.
So I feel like our expectations here in, you know, in 2021 or whatever are a lot different. And so it's going to be hard to, you know,
I mean, if anyone can do it, it's Eddie Murphy, right? I don't think he would star in something that's bad.
True. Yeah. Right. I mean, we'll ignore like, 90% of the movies he made in the 90s and 2000s, but
listen, we don't talk about those. Okay,
this is the 80s podcast. What are you talking about, Andre? What? Never gonna get invited back now. Ruined it.
You know, another one of my favorite movies that was kind of like on the remake you know, pipeline for a while, and it finally just got canceled, was Scarface.
Oh, you cannot go. I know you cannot talk. You have the inability to talk about 80s movies and not. So a quick story about my good friend here is that for my birthday one year, he comes up, he goes, Dre, man, I got you this gift, man. I couldn't decide what to do. And I reached down deep and, you know, and channeled your inner, what you really want. And I got you this. And I'm like, oh, you know, you didn't have to give me anything, but okay. It was Scarface in 4K. So, which is really kind of an oxymoron, right? Because how do you do like something like Scarface, right? And then put it in 4K. But no, it was Scarface in 4K, which was amazing. So you get, you know, twice the amount of in your face, like gripping your seat, like, oh my gosh. Like, so
yeah.
By the way, thank you for that.
Of course, man, I got your back.
But this guy, you know, so we have had the Scarface discussion, and you know, it's like, it's one of my favorite movies. I know it's one of his favorite as well. And it's definitely, I mean, it's classic Pacino. In his element, right? I mean, really,
yeah. Pacino was coming off doing The Godfather. I believe he did the first two right before it, right? I'm not really sure. Actually, I'm one of those that's seen Scarface and I haven't seen the Godfather movies. So
if anyone's going to come at me,
I'm sorry. I'll get to them one day. But I mean, what I find interesting about Scarface is that they're able to, like, obviously it describes the excess of the 80s, even early on, because this came out in 83. And you can kind of see the excess of it with, you know, the drugs, the money going around. This, I mean, obviously it took place in South Beach in Miami. There was a lot of like those colors that were kind of making up the 80s with the white, the pink, the bright hues. Oh, yeah. And I mean, what's not to love about that movie, man? I mean, it's a guy who comes from nothing. He goes to having everything, and then he gets into his head, right? So I know it's a favorite for a lot of people. Me, the first time I saw it, I was like, man, I've been missing out. I didn't know what a real movie was like till I saw this thing up in my eyes.
I mean, it's definitely a classic. And I would say, like, it has a solid following. I mean, solid following. You know, as, you know, growing up, you know, especially, I mean, even, you know, in high school and Detroit and everything, like, everyone knew what this movie was, right? And you know, we're talking, you know, 10, 20 years after it's made, like still going strong. So it has, you know, and this is another one you could probably, I mean, I don't know how you could do a sequel. I mean, spoiler alert. You can't do a sequel. I'll leave it at that.
Don't say anything.
but I feel like that's along the same lines. Like if you were to do a sequel, like people would watch it just because.
Yeah.
You know, kind of.
I mean, that movie was just that. This is why I was bringing it up, because they were trying to make a remake of it. And for those people that don't know, Scarface, the 80s one, is actually a remake of the original Scarface from the 30s. It was made in 1933, I believe. And then that one was obviously in black and white. But it had a whole different kind of atmosphere to it, because that one was talking about prohibition. Obviously, at that time, prohibition was a big thing in the United States, and that's what that kind of Scarface story revolved around. Obviously this one was more about the white powder, okay, the cocaina. So but they were trying to make another remake, and this was like 6 years ago, and I'm like, man, what are they gonna do? They were saying he was gonna be from like Mexico, and it was gonna be about drug cartels, and I'm like, I don't see a need for like a remake to this Scarface, honestly. I mean, Andre, you can tell me otherwise if you see a need for it, but
no,
I feel like that movie is still can be very like contemporary as far as what we see, and where it doesn't seem old. It doesn't seem like it happened like ages ago. It still seems like it could be happening today.
Release it in 8K, make just as much money as the original release, and be done with it. Take my money. I mean, here you go.
I'm all for it.
absolutely, man. That thing, oh, great movie. Great movie.
Yeah. You got all the F-bombs. You got Pacino with that Cuban accent.
And then we talked last time too about like things, you know, you grew up saying, like quotes from movies, you know, like say hello to my little friend. Right. So yeah. Like, that's just, you know, we grew up saying that, you know what I mean? Like, that's by the way, man. Do you know how much it cost to make that movie?
I do not.
$25 million.
$25 million.
Approximately. Okay.
I know, what I do know is it didn't do too well at the box office. Because if I remember right, it came out during Christmas time.
I don't remember that, but that's probably not a good choice. I would not.
That's not a good choice.
But I do see it. It did. Okay. So it cost 25. It was 25 million budget. It did in the box office make 66 million.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Because I remember that 1983, that was the year that E.T. came out. You remember E.T.?
Oh man, do what? What did you just say? Do I remember E.T.? But like, hold on a second. Need to come out. I need to come out from underneath this rock that I've been living in for the last 37 years, whatever, 38 years.
E.T. had come out the year before in '82, and obviously it grew very big and everything.
Oh yeah.
And Universal was the one that made, or you know, produced Scarface. And for some reason, these guys decided to release it December 1st and you know, as a premiere in New York. And then they released it nationwide later that month. I'm like, you're talking about Christmas movies. I don't think Scarface is a Christmas movie.
Yeah, you know, happy holidays. Here's a giant.
He's a giant F you.
Oh, my gosh.
You're right. When you're talking about like the following it got later on. It was one of those movies that got really big at the video rental stores. Remember Blockbuster?
Oh, my gosh. Hey, you know, by the way, there is only one. I just watched a video on this the other day. Yeah. There's only one Blockbuster left in the whole country, in the whole world. Maybe I want to say the whole world. Maybe the country. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Fact check me on that. But I think it's in, oh, gosh, Seattle or something like that. Or is it somewhere? It's somewhere.
Yeah,
it exists somewhere, but I guess there's one left, and then you can go and actually rent movies and
yeah, that's crazy. I think you're talking about the one in Portland,
yes,
yeah,
Oregon, Washington, it's the same thing.
It's close enough. It's in the Northwest,
right? Yeah, there you go.
But that's one of those movies that took off kind of as people were renting movies, and then later on it became like well known. And the like the people that watch media at home. So I feel like that's something that doesn't really happen nowadays, obviously, because no one goes to video rental stores and goes like word of mouth, man. Like, hey, have you seen this movie? You should go rent it.
I want to change the subject like just a little bit, right?
All right.
Because it just, you know, I'm thinking, right? And I'm like, what are, you know, great 80s movies, right?
Yeah.
So I'm going to talk about something. And stop me if I'm off base here, right?
Okay.
But I don't know if you consider this more a musical or if you consider it a music video, but can we talk about like Moonwalker?
Oh, Moonwalker.
Can we talk about it though? Because I've been trying to get my wife to watch it for like the last like 6 months.
Really?
Like, I'm like, hey, you remember Moonwalker, right? He like turns into a spaceship. Okay. If you don't know what Moonwalker is, okay, this, if you haven't been, you know, on Earth, okay. do you know what Moonwalker is, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you want to describe it?
I mean,
no.
I wouldn't say if it was a movie. I feel like it was more of like a collection of like short films, maybe. And then, you know, they had like music videos in there as well. But, I know it was obviously named after his moonwalk, which he made famous.
So, okay. I'm just going to say Wikipedia classifies it as a experimental anthology musical film.
Oh, okay. There you go.
Okay. So for anyone that's familiar with Michael Jackson, right? So this was like his big, like, if you ever seen a Michael Jackson video, like they're crazy, right? They have all this stuff. So he had like a big, I don't know, that was an album, wasn't it? Was it Moonwalker like the album?
No, Moonwalker. Okay. It came right after Bad. So Bad was the album that was released in 87. And then after that, they kind of collected all these music videos that he recorded for it.
So, but it was all kind of put together as a, like, I mean, kind of like a movie. Like, it was put together with, like, a storyline.
Yeah.
And the bad guy was, it escapes. I'm gonna have to look it up because I don't remember, but.
Yeah.
It's been Joe a Pesci. While. Joe Pesci. Thank you. Joe Pesci, yeah, was the bad guy. And, like, yeah. It's just all over the place. And it's, I don't know that when I think of like 80s things, like I'm going to call it a movie. It was amazing. Joe Pesci was in it. He's amazing. Yeah. He was also big in the 80s.
Yeah. I mean, that's something we hadn't talked about. Obviously we're talking more about movies, but Michael Jackson was pretty big. I know later on he ended up being in like, actually going back to certain video type things. Do you remember hearing about Captain EO?
Yeah, I saw it at Disneyland.
Yeah, and that was with Michael Jackson. So yes. he went to get rewarded for that. And that thing, man, wow, that was a trip down memory lane. When I saw that, I'm like, whoa, this was at Disneyland?
Yeah, they had, so like, you know, I used to, I would go every year, you know, with a friend. You know, he had a performing group and I would go and I perform with them because, you know, I am a spoiler alert, I'm a musician. But I would go with them and he would drag me along and I would go and we would do this Disneyland thing and he would drag me along as he walked around and he never wanted to go on the rides. What kind of person goes to Disneyland doesn't go anyway, I digress. But so Captain EO was one of the, it was like a little, you know, you can go and sit down and it was kind of like a, I want to say like, what is that? Like a extra sensory kind of thing.
Yeah. Where you like sitting, but you feel like certain effects.
Yeah. So it was kind of like one of those kind of cool things and they had it and it was right outside like Space Mountain. But, so yeah. And it wasn't, you know, it's like a short movie, like a short film.
Right.
But yeah, no, that was certainly, that was one of the things we'd be like, I think, you know, when you get to a certain age, all you want to do is sit down and you don't want to go on the ride. You don't want to walk around. You just want to sit down. So,
yeah. No, I get it. I get it. But that's what came to mind when, you know, you brought Moonwalker, Michael Jackson. I'm like, oh, I remember Captain EO. And obviously all the music videos he had, that guy, I'm a big fan of music videos. And that guy had just had some of the best ones for the 80s. This guy was just a genius when it came to like the choreography. And like setting everything up to the music, like guy, like everything was just like how you do it. Like not only was he a musician, but he was able to like get these dance routines to the songs. It was amazing.
But it would all go together so flawlessly and so smooth and like,
yeah,
so smooth. But so that was one of the things I like. He was ahead of his time for sure. Like,
yeah,
hands down the way he incorporated. And like I said, like with Moonwalker, like even Captain EO, like just the things that he was able to like incorporate, you know, were things that like people never, because you had your musicals, right? You had your,
you know,
your movies and things. So I love the way he kind of combined those. That was amazing.
Right.
But you know, I digress, right? We're here to talk about movies. So I'm going to ask you a question because I'm thinking of, you know, I talked about, it was one of the first things I talked about in the last episode. But I know I talked about like The Last Dragon was like, wasn't that really well-known movie?
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite movie that's not as well-known?
Oh. You know what? I have a couple. I don't know if I would say there's a favorite, not one that comes to mind immediately, but I have a couple that come to mind that were kind of like in the horror sci-fi genre. And if, you know, you guys, I'm not really a big fan of horror, not because I get scared, but because I feel like the tropes have just been overused and I'm just like, I know what's going to happen. What's the point?
I am 100% not a fan of horror because I get scared. So... we sleep with night lights at my house. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, okay. So, I'm just kidding. There you go. Have you heard of They Live?
No. I've not heard that one.
Live, that was a John Carpenter movie. That one had Roddy Piper, the wrestler, in it. You remember
Roddy Piper? I feel like you told me about this movie before.
Yeah.
We've had a conversation about it. I remember having this conversation.
And it had, what's that guy's name? He's a pretty famous actor too. Oh, Keith David. Keith David was like his partner in the movie. And they're like, pretty much Roddy Piper ends up coming upon these like sunglasses. He puts them on, and when he puts them on, he can see like it opens reality to him, and he can see like all these boards that to us kind of look like ads, but when he puts the glasses on, they're like orders, and it says like eat and reproduce, and like he can see like UFOs, and he can see like aliens. It's pretty trippy, and it was like I remember it, and I was just like, this movie, I just thought it came from a different angle, and that was able to show like kind of like an invasion that's already happened, and then this guy's discovering it because of these glasses, and it was pretty interesting. I remember that movie, and that was one of the movies that I don't think a lot of people know about, but it's definitely up there for me in the 80s. Another one was Fright Night. Have you heard of Fright Night?
Gosh, why does that sound so familiar?
Fright Night. That one's more kind of like playing on classic tropes. There's like a vampire in that one, and it's this guy who's trying to prove that his neighbor is a vampire. No one believes him. And like, I know it kind of sounds, you know, because it's been redone.
That's what it. Okay, because and it was in Las Vegas when it was redone.
Oh, when it was redone.
Yes, it was. That's why it sounds familiar. I did not see the original.
No. Yeah, the original. I don't know where it took place, but that one. That's another one that I had to get. And a lot of these movies I get like on Blu-ray and stuff because I like having a physical copy of it. Because I don't know, I don't want to hunt down individually on streams.
I'm sorry. Did you say you get them on Blu-ray? Is that what you said?
Oh, listen. Blu-rays are it for me, okay? But let me tell you something. I did get some Laserdiscs recently, okay? I got the format of the 80s, okay? I will save that for a different episode. I can't go on a tangent, but let me tell you, Laserdiscs, there's something.
I want to just be on that so I can argue that point into the ground. They could sit through one of those arguments with you and I just going back and forth about.
Oh, okay.
Okay. But yeah, that's okay. We digress. All right. Keep going. Sorry.
Yeah.
Fright Night. I haven't seen that one.
That wasn't a good one. For some reason, I feel like it's a lot of these like horror, like B-type movies that come to mind. But those are the two that came to mind right away for me. And okay. I just remember just kind of watching them. On like random TV channels recently. Like it wasn't like They Live I saw like on HBO when HBO was a thing before HBO Max. Okay. Sure. And then I saw Fright Night on like some random over the antenna channel during
That's called Showtime. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, but those ones were good. Did you see The Fly?
Okay. Let me tell you. So yes and no. I mean, I've definitely seen parts of it, but it creeped me out so much. Cause you know, I saw it when I was younger. So like, you know, I love Jeff Goldblum. Like,
yeah,
he's awesome. but like watching him with like the fly head, like that freaked me out, man.
Yeah.
That freaked me out. But,
I remember, man, what like was going through transformations, kind of disgusting. I feel like that was more of just like a, I don't know if it was horror. It was more of just like a disgusting type of movie.
Right? It wasn't so much scary. It was just like,
yeah.
And, you know, full disclosure, I'm terrified of all bugs. So there's that. and so to see like a giant fly, I'm just like, But is that another movie? Would you like consider that like a cult following movie?
Oh man, I don't know. I,
I,
I mean, I know car bases, I know like things like that are like Fright Night even has a little bit of a cult following and they live, but The Fly, I don't really run into many people that talk about it, to be honest.
I don't know. I kind of think of it as a classic movie, but
yeah.
I can see that. But speaking of cult classics.
Yeah.
I'm going to drop a movie on you. You ready for it?
Yeah, I'm ready.
And you got to prepare yourself mentally, physically, emotionally. Okay. National Lampoon's Vacation.
Chevy Chase.
Chevy Chase, right?
Yeah, Chevy Chase. That movie's a classic.
So, I have a secret. Now, Christmas Vacation, one of the best all times National Lampoon's, you know, movies, you know, that's for sure 1000% a classic, Christmas Vacation. But truth be told, that's not my favorite National Lampoon's one. It's not my favorite.
Okay.
My favorite is Vegas Vacation, which came out way later.
Oh, man.
You know, hey, I felt the need to come clean about that, you guys. I'm sorry. Everyone that listened to this podcast, I'm like, where did you get this guy from?
Why? Everyone listening, don't worry. I won't get this guy on again.
Oh, no. It's done. Listen, I was just trying to be honest with you guys. All right. Would you prefer, forget I said anything about it. But but that's a great, also, you wait, but the 80s, like, the thing I like best about the 80s is the 80s was like the basis of all like the movies we have today, right?
Yeah.
So like, what do I think of? Like Avengers, things like that, right?
Right.
What came from the 80s that was the basis of that?
Oh, I mean, you're gonna have to tell me.
It's Batman.
Oh, Batman.
Batman. I am Batman, right? So you got the, what's my man's name? Jack Nicholson.
Oh, yeah, the Joker.
Right, as the Joker.
Yeah. Yeah. Batman came out late in 89. And then I think even in early 80s still have like Christopher Reeves doing Superman.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so.
Absolutely. Man, there's just.
Even the 80s movies had some superhero movies going on.
I mean, really, that's the first time. I mean, really. He-Man. Was He-Man that was 80s, right?
Oh, yeah, He-Man. Yeah, that was 80s.
So, I mean, really, like, that was the first time, like, you saw a lot of these live action, you know, comic book characters and everything coming to, you know.
Right, right. Yeah, definitely. So, yeah, like, the Transformers movies, too, and the Ninja Turtles. I know you like those.
Oh, my gosh. Yes, the Ninja Turtles, right? That was great. That was a great movie with Vanilla Ice. That was the second one. Never mind. Yeah. That doesn't count. But yeah, the Ninja was that was the 80s too?
Nah, that was,
or was the 90s.
90.
Oh,
right on the cusp, I think.
Yeah, well, listen, we talked about last time dipping that toe on over. I know you guys are 80s fanatics. We just got to dip a toe. Turtles, that was great. There's just the Transformers movie. We haven't talked about that. That was huge. Was huge. And the cartoon movie, of course.
Yeah, it was cartoon.
That was the first one, right?
It would have had the graphics or the animation, you know, with computer stuff back then to make it like the ones.
What are you talking about, man? Just, you know, do that Rankin and Bass. What's it? Stop animation? What is that called?
The Apple II wasn't going to get you very far back then, okay?
Oh man, you get Atari 8600, but yeah, for sure. Like, I mean, those were, that was that the 80s. I'm gonna go on a limb, I'm gonna say it, and it could be controversial, you know, but the 80s were really I feel like big for the comic books, like the comic book movies, the live action movies, you know, and really started coming around and like becoming mainstream. Like, you know, they're still making Batman movies, you know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah. I think that's when people kind of started dipping their feet into the comics and like the cartoons and the toys. I feel like they really didn't do that in the 70s and 60s. I think the closest they got to that was like James Bond, and James Bond was from like books. It wasn't from like comics and stuff. So that's where I can see where you're coming from, and they definitely started moving towards the pop culture a bit more.
Oh man. And then I'm sure like cartoons was a whole thing. I think you already covered the cartoons and whatnot. I know, yeah, we're having a good time. Yeah, we're discussing it, but you're bringing a lot of knowledge, man. You're doing a lot of the research and,
yeah.
And like you were talking about some things that you brought up, even with like the cartoon or some of the other stuff and the music stuff. And I was like, man, this guy knows the stuff. So, hey, so keep up the good work, man. You're doing a great job.
Thanks. I mean, you know, that's why I got into this, you know, podcast stuff. Like I always got told by people like, man, you know a lot about the 80s. You know, why don't you just talk about it, share your information? And I'm like, I don't know about that. So this has been a long time coming for me. I've definitely, it's a decade that it just speaks to me. I feel like I wish I was born in that decade or lived through it. And, you know, cause I mean, you know this better than anyone, Dre. When we went out to like the club and stuff, they would put some 90s beats on and you'd be like asking me like, oh, you gotta know who this is. And I'd be like, I don't know what this is. like I know all the 80s stuff. I can tell you Eddie Murphy, Bruce Willis. I can tell you when they got some songs in and stuff. But you're talking to me about like hip hop guys from like 90s and stuff, or like R&B, and I'll be like, I don't know. Like,
listen, I live through the 80s, and you're like schooling me on the 80s. You'd be like, no, man, really? Really? How do you not know this? And I'm like, shoot, man, I don't have an excuse. I don't really know.
Yeah.
So.
All right, man. Well, I gotta say it was a pleasure having you on again. Talk about some more 80s movies and
yes.
take that trip down memory lane. Again, we didn't get to nearly all of them. We didn't get to Back to the Future. We didn't get to E.T. Obviously, I kind of brought it up and that was it. Star Wars. We haven't gotten to Star Wars.
So. I feel like a terrible person right now.
there's just so much going on, and we'll definitely have to do another one, and then maybe slip some laser disc talk in there. But anyway,
sorry. I'm okay.
Anyways, yeah, man, it's always a good time having you on. You definitely know your stuff.
I love being here.
It's nice to have someone bounce ideas and topics off of.
Yeah, you know, I love coming, you know, I love having this talk, and, you know, coming here and having this talk with you, man. It's great. I feel entertained. So I hope that the listeners do too. But you know, I also at the same time hope I haven't ruined it for coming back in the future, or back to the future. No. Okay. See what I did there.
What the?
You know, but yeah, man, I hope you let me come back and we get to do it again sometime, because I have a blast every time.
Oh yeah, man, definitely. I mean, you've been to video games, you're into like the media, you're into like a lot of things that kind of, you were talking about earlier how some of the movies today trace their roots back to 80s. Like you can say the same things for video games, you can say the same things for media and all that type of stuff. So I mean, definitely love to have you on for future topics, and man, it was great having you on. Thanks for being on today.
Oh, hey, thanks for coming. Thanks for coming. thanks for having me.
yeah.
Thanks for coming to my podcast. I really appreciate it.
All right, man. It's all right. You've been on here with me for 2 episodes, so I understand.
If you feel, I felt like it was my podcast. I'm sorry, I didn't mean.
All right.
Thanks for having me. No, I really appreciate it, man.
Oh yeah, anytime. All right, guys. If you enjoyed hearing to the episode, listening to Trip Down Memory Lane with all these other movies we went over today, feel free to go to Instagram, give me a follow on Retro Nostalgia Podcast. Okay, guys. Until next time, make sure you stay excellent.
You've been listening to the Retro Nostalgia Podcast. We release new episodes every Friday. If you like what you hear, please be sure to subscribe, rate, review, and follow us on Instagram at Retro Nostalgia Podcast. Until next time, be excellent to each other.